Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. I'm joined on the phone today by Mohan Krishnan, Vice President and General Manager for Point Next Services, APEC, at HPE. We find out more about the processes and protocols to ensure that data is being collected in a safe, sustainable and compliant manner. Mohan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Clarissa. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Now let's jump right into it. It's called the Age of Insight. Tell us about the sheer volume of data that is now available to companies and what they are doing with it.
Clarissa, before we talk about the Age of Insight, I think it's important to understand and appreciate the sheer volume of data that we are talking about. So I read a report by IDC, which actually says that the amount of data created in the next 3 years will be more than what was created over the last 30 years. So this sort of thing is hard to comprehend. But then if you hear, you know, that by 2022, there will be 50 billion devices connected to the internet, and given that we have a population of 7 or 8 billion, you can kind of get the idea in terms of scale. Just to throw a few more data points, right? Twitter users send over 500,000 tweets a minute, I'm told. And WhatsApp users exchange 65 billion messages daily. And Google, mother of all, is 3.5 billion searches every day. And that is 40,000 searches per second, you know, and which is, I'm told 15% of them are new and they've never been queried before. So this kind of establishes the size and scale of data. And now if you really look at, you know, why is it called the Age of Insight? It is the Age of Insight because data is at the heart of every digital transformation initiative that every company and every industry is actually working on. And in a digitally powered economy like ours, companies and industries who have the right form of data, they can actually successfully, you know, navigate the marketplace. They can make future predictions. They can probably adjust their business to fit the market trends. And this helps them to derive value and get a competitive advantage where enterprises really become data powered and they maximize the value through reduced cost, increased revenue and improved profits. They make better decisions out of the data and that helps them to maximize the value. And you ask me what companies do with this data. They actually look at it in raw data form, in information, as intelligence, and then they analyze this to drive what I call actionable insights. This helps them to make the right business strategy, to identify patterns, enhance productivity. You know, it could be different for different industries. If it is pharmaceuticals, they are looking at, you know, how do they do better research, avoid preventable diseases and so on. If it is in the banking sector, they are looking at recognizing illegal activities like money laundering and so on, and a whole host of ways of improving customer services and so on. One of the best examples, you know, I always take this as an example of somebody who uses data very well, is probably each and every one of us can relate to this. Netflix, they say, saves almost $1 billion on customer retention by using the data that they have of their customers. They use the data to provide their users with personalized recommendations, show videos which are similar to the ones that they have already watched, and give suggestions on various titles. There is also a feature called continue watching, you know, which I like really, where you stop a show and then you go back to. I believe this improves the user experience a lot. So this is just an example of, you know, how organizations can really equip themselves if they really want to use the right tools and unlock the value of the data that is available to them.
You know, Mohan, you just gave us an insight into your viewership of Netflix in talking about continue watching, you binge watch. But you're right, that is a lot of data that is being collated. And we all realize this every time we do a search. And those numbers are phenomenal for Google, for Facebook, for Twitter. The question then becomes, this obviously presents challenges. Help us understand what they are.
So I'll talk from an industry or an enterprise perspective, right? So the sheer volume of data presents a lot of challenges. And these challenges can be in how do you store this data? How do you access it when you need to? How do you process it, and that too with speed? And how do you manage the cost, the performance of the application, the scalability, and then if you want to do a backup or a retrieval, how do you do it effectively and at what cost? So this becomes a huge challenge. And when if you really break it down, you know, data is usually for companies, they look at it as structured data and unstructured data. And not to get too technical, but structured data is mainly data that resides in databases, which has got very clear fields, tables, and a structure. And unstructured data is for companies and individuals, but it consists of things that we use every day: Word documents, Excel files, audio files, video files, emails. These are subject to great risk. And whether we like it or not, 80% of the data today is unstructured, and that is really growing much faster than the structured data. And there are challenges across the entire life cycle of managing this data. So if you look at life cycle, it's about, you know, how do I acquire this data? How do I store it? How do I transform it so that I'm storing it effectively? How do I move it if I need to? How do I access it? And how do I use it? So through the entire life cycle, there can be risks and challenges. And these risks can be, you know, corruption. It can be loss of data when you're moving it. It can be a breach, you know, accidental or malicious, theft. And all these result in operational losses. You know, you lose data, your business comes to a standstill. There can be a reputation loss because it affects your brand if you do something. And then not to say there can also be a financial loss because either you lose business or somebody can sue you because of what has actually happened if you are in a retail sector or in a banking sector or in a trading sector. So it depends on the industry, but this volume of data presents a lot of challenges which need to be addressed, Clarissa.
All right. Now, everyone assumes that a data breach, a cyber attack is going to happen to somebody else. We're very well protected. The other guys, maybe not so much. We're fine. Up to the point in time something happens. Now, there have been data breaches at MyRepublic and StarHub in just the last few months. How does Singapore rank in terms of cybersecurity readiness compared to the rest of the region?
So in this region, from what I understand, Singapore actually tops in Asia Pacific, you know, and this is not just me saying it. The Deloitte Cybersecurity Smart Index actually found that when it comes to cybersecurity, there is a good sense of awareness in cybersecurity linked issues. And this is present within the country, and it's also present in the legal and the organizational framework. And Singapore government recognizes this, right? They recognize the importance of this. They have set up what is called Cybersecurity Agency, which actually helps to keep Singapore cyberspace safe and secure. You know, they run things like Better Cyber Safe Than Sorry, or programs like Be Safe Online. These sort of help to raise the awareness of cybersecurity and then also help to improve the adoption of cybersecurity practices among the businesses and the public. Now, why I say Singapore is ahead, it is simply because of these two, three things. One, awareness, right? Awareness is really important. Then the amount of training that is actually provided to the people to recognize, you know, a breach. And then last but not least, the talent that is available, the development of talent to address in case a breach happens, or how do you protect yourself? And in case a breach happens, how do you address it? So from these perspectives, you know, despite what we have seen and heard, you know, Singapore really ranks in the top as far as the Asia-Pacific market is concerned.
All right. But the fact remains that there are breaches. We can't completely protect ourselves. Our companies can't completely protect our data. And there's the crutch right there. Companies want data. Individuals like myself want our data protected. What is being done to protect this data?
I think that's a great question. To protect the data, you have to work on all fronts, right? It's not just the companies or the corporates. It's not just the individual. It's also the government. So while the government has actually introduced, you know, Personal Data Protection Act and things like that, and they have a, you know, data trust rating system which allows customers and consumers to ensure that the personal data is properly handled and so on, and there is also the cybersecurity agency which has implemented various programs, I think a lot depends on the individual and the companies as well to safeguard. And Singapore specifically has recognized this, and they also, not only, you know, within their national borders, but also they share the knowledge with their ASEAN neighbors, and they have set up what is called the ASEAN Cybersecurity Center of Excellence, which helps countries to improve. But when I go back and look at enterprises or companies, I think there are many things that they can do. So companies actually do what is called classification of data first. So they classify them in tiers, tier 1, tier 2, tier tier three in terms of importance. They also develop a strong data infrastructure and management processes. So the robustness of their data infrastructure actually protects them and secures them from some threats and breaches, and also the management policies and procedures. Then they use a lot of advanced analytics techniques as well, cognitive technologies and so on. And then lastly, they look at a lot of governance standards, risk assessments, security policies. So these actually help to make sure that at every stage of the life cycle that I talked about, whether it is acquisition of data, storing it, managing it, or reusing it, we are able to protect. Now, when it comes to individuals, we don't have such large data pools, but whatever data we have, and I know that, I have almost like 1 terabyte of data, so does my wife, I'm sure all of you have, and today our smartphones allow us that kind of storage. Our computers and laptops allow us that kind of storage. So we have to take steps through regular backups. Of course, password protection is supreme. And, if there is very confidential stuff, you have to encrypt it. And, of course, if you can, definitely make sure that you have the right level of antivirus protection. And most importantly, access through a secure network. It's important to secure the network as well. So these are the things that we should do on all fronts, whether it is the companies, whether it is the individual, or it's the government.
The question for me is, there is so much that is being done to protect our data. On the other hand, as an individual, there is so much of my personal data, my medical records, my banking records, my tax records that is out there in the hands of other people that I have to trust. So the question always comes back to, are companies who hold that data on my behalf doing enough?
See, the pandemic, has changed the game, Claire. So it has really accelerated the rate of digital transformation. And to be very fair, when I speak to many customers, I find that many of them are still not there. They are still ill-equipped. And some of them lack the right technologies, tools, and platforms to keep the data safe. And thereby, it puts the data at risk. And it also puts them at risk from their customer data as well. So organizations do regular data backups. They actually bolster the data protection strategy. They also make sure that, depends on the industry. If you're in financial services or if you're in, let's say, in the telco segment, you follow a lot of compliance and standards. So keeping to that, then they also have regular checks as well. So periodical security breach checks that they do. So all this is done. Plus, many of them actually work with a trusted partner as well. They work with companies which actually help them to secure their data against ransomware. And in the worst case scenario, if there is a breach that happens, how do you recover from the disruption very effortlessly and actually get up and running? But if you really ask me, there are 3-4 things as a Hewlett Packard Enterprise we always tell our customers, and I always share this with customers. Number one, you need to make sure that whatever data you have has seamless access. So you need to have something like an intelligent data platform that enables data mobility. You cannot create islands of silos of data. So you have the mobility of data which is required. The second thing is you need to have a consistent view of the data. So in order to do that, you need to have a platform, and we have something called HP as well, which allows that, which enables artificial intelligence, and that consistent view is required. The third very important is the scalability. That means, you have to have the scalability where you are able to cater to peaks and troughs of requirements. Let's say you're a bank, you're running a promotion for a home loan over the weekend. So you'll definitely need a terrific amount of resources. So to enable to scale, you need something like a HP GreenLake, which enables you to pay and grow and pay as you go models. And last but not the least, you need to have the expertise. Either you have the expertise in-house within your company, or you work with somebody like the organization I represent, which is the HP PointNext Services. We really end up augmenting the skills for our customers. So just to repeat, companies have to focus on seamless access, provide a consistent view, enable the scalability, and then have the expertise to be able to protect the data and recover it in case there is any breach.
All right, now let's talk about something that you touched on in various parts of your answers to my questions. Companies do talk about implementation of best practices to protect the data. Protecting the data is paramount to companies, paramount to us as individuals, and it's why companies like your organization exists. So how often should these best practices to protect the data be reviewed, be refreshed, be revamped?
Companies like ours, or what we tell our customers, is that you should routinely review your data protection policies. you know, periodically. So it can be a year, or it can be, you know, if you don't have the regular methodology of checking the practices to identify data protection gaps, then you need to be a bit more frequent. But in order to stay relevant, you know, you have to keep abreast of the changes also that's happening. The market is changing rapidly, right? And then the data protection regulations are also changing. I talked about industry-specific regulations in banking and in telcos and so on. These are highly regulated industries. Then you have to keep into account some of the data incidents that happen. So, for example, recently you talked about a couple of breaches. So when these sort of breaches happen, then you need to be more on the ball and review these. Then you also look at the feedback that you're getting from your stakeholders, your customers, your partners, you know. So instead of just doing a reactive revision, one needs to be a bit proactive, especially if there are major incidents like a ransomware attack, and companies need to do a periodic review of their policies. And actually, the committee or the Personal Data Protection Committee in Singapore, they have actually come up with many ideas on how to tap these resources on data protection management that companies can actually refer to for guidance.
All right. So yes, routine's fine, but you know, don't just rely on those routine checks and reviews. If you need to, you have to move faster than that, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
All right. We've been speaking with Mohan Krishnan, Vice President and General Manager for PointNext Services, APEC at HPE. Mohan, thank you for the insights. It's actually been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Clarissa. You have a good day.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.